Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're finishing up our look inside Phil's mind. It's a little trip I've been taking recently, exploring more abstract aspects of bear country. And I was actually going to get back on track this week with a book, but things transpired that made me sit down and take stock and rework my original ideas. When I started Deep in Bear Country in 2015, yes, it has been 3.5 years that I've been doing this. I did it for a lot of different reasons. One of those reasons was as an antidote against the ironic podcasts I'd been filling my head with for a couple of years. The, as I call them, hey, look at this stupid thing shows that exist only to ridicule and demean without offering much in the way of inspiration. And now there's a place for that kind of thing. I don't want to make you think that I'm just trashing it, because I totally still listen to those kind of shows, but I didn't want to contribute to it. I didn't want to create another one of those kind of shows. It just seemed too easy. And I mean, it requires a level of wit that I feel I lack. You have to be funny to pull that off. And I'm me, and here we are. Instead, I decided to approach the works of Stan and Jan and Mike and sometimes Leo as art worthy of inspection. I felt that there was enough there to stand up to non-ironic scrutiny. And I've been pleasantly surprised to discover that I was right. This approach has paid off in numerous ways, one of those being a listenership that, though small, is sincere and kind, and often surprised at the content of this show. I've met many incredible, passionate people, not just fellow podcasters, but professionals in fields I'd have never thought to approach, never even thought to explore, that I never even knew existed. I've made friends in other states and traveled with them. And perhaps the most humbling of all was meeting Mike Berenstain himself and being invited into his home to handle the works his parents had created and witness his process in action. And all this because I decided not to do a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles podcast. And it would have been great. Podcast in a half shell. I mean, come on. That would have been awesome. I say all this as preamble to this week's topic because over the years, I've grown very protective of the Berenstain Bears as a concept and of the Berenstains as a family. Whether or not that feeling is appropriate, I can't say. I think it comes with proximity, however imagined that proximity might be. I talk about the Berenstain Bears a lot, and as such, the Berenstains themselves. They are a real family, and Berenstain is a real name. Several years ago, I covered the internet phenomenon known as the Mandela Effect on an episode titled The Berenstain Bears and the Doomspell Tournament. If you haven't heard of the concept, and boy oh boy, how lucky you are to be living on the moon. In short, the Mandela Effect is an internet conspiracy theory which posits that elements of our universe have been secretly altered by unseen forces, and that these forces are essentially gaslighting us into believing history hasn't been changed, or that certain people are capable of crossing from one reality to another, leading to discrepancies in their memories of history. In either case, whichever version of the Mandela Effect you subscribe to or you've heard of, groups of people remember things as being different than they are, and have come together to declare that there's a massive conspiracy at work hiding the truth from everyone. The Mandela Effect gets its name from people who remembered Nelson Mandela dying in prison when they were kids, instead of, not dying. And rather than saying, well, I was a kid, so I probably wasn't paying much attention to the news then anyway, they say, well, this must be some sort of conspiracy against history or multiple universes or something. And then they find each other online and form this swirling mass of exponentially increasing agreement. There are Mandela Effect conspiracies about everything, from breakfast cereal names to motion pictures to the number of states in the union. And two of one, it's all stuff people barely remember from childhood and haven't thought about in decades. It's dumb. It's dumb. Sadly, the Berenstains found themselves the focus of the Mandela Effect because some people remembered Berenstain being spelled with an E instead of an A. So Theories abound, jokes are made, images are altered, and anyone who brings up the Berenstain Bears in any context has to weather the oh-so-clever people who feel that they're the comedians of the year by saying, are you sure it isn't Berenstain? LOLOL, LOLOL, stop it. Just stop it. Stop now. Stop. In the 19th century, Jewish residents of Ukraine, who comprised a massive portion of the world's Jewish population at the time, began facing newly charged state-sponsored terrorism in the form of pogroms against Jewish shtetls and communities. As any student of history knows, anti-Semitism in Eastern Europe, in the world in general, was nothing new. Jewish people had been driven out of cities, countries, regions for centuries. They'd been made the scapegoats of history by populations looking for an easy target, since before most of these countries, regions, cities ever even existed. Jewish people had lived in Ukraine since the 11th century and had faced organized violence since at least the mid-17th, when between 15 to 30,000 Jewish people were massacred and 300 communities were destroyed by Cossacks and Tartars. In 1821, anti-Jewish riots kicked off the modern pogroms, and by the late 1800s, rising nationalist groups began targeting Jewish citizens with increasing frequency, leading to the flight of large portions of the Jewish population ahead of the violence to come in the early 20th century. Among those fleeing the pogroms, the violence, and the terror, were the grandparents of Stanley Berenstain. As Mike Berenstain has said in interview after interview, in comment after comment, and I'm going to quote here, Berenstain, according to our family lore, was an attempt by an unknown immigration officer sometime in the late 1800s to reproduce phonetically a highly accented version of the traditional Jewish name Bernstein, as pronounced by my father's grandparents when they came to America from the Ukraine. In that linguistic region, the name tended to come out sounding something like Berenstain. And since that's how the name was originally documented, it has always been spelled that way by our family, and it has always been misread and mispronounced by nearly everyone. Indeed it was. In elementary school, Stan found himself the focus of a teacher who, quote-unquote, corrected his last name to Bernstein, which she believed was the correct way to pronounce and spell his name. Over the years, readers have ignored the spelling of the name and insisted on correcting it themselves, pronouncing it Bernstein, Bernstein, variations of that, despite it being clearly spelled Berenstain. Chalk it up to an accident if you want. I call it laziness and an aversion to anything that falls outside a person's sphere of knowledge or comfort. Rather than read the name and think, that's different, I wonder if that's a variation on Bernstein, they think, well, that must be a misspelling, or I'll just pronounce it Bernstein, that's easier. It's the most insidious form of laziness. It's the same laziness that prompts an employee to ask their new coworker, can I just call you, rather than learn to pronounce their name. It's hostility at its basest form, and it's ugly. It's ugly on the part of the perpetrator because they get to hide behind it being cute or convenient or whoops, stupid me, and then not make any changes on their part. But it's a name. Our names are our identities. We're allowed to ask people to refer to us by our names. Their resistance to our request is a form of hostility, whether they believe it is or not. It's a sign of disrespect, a show of power, a way of saying, your identity is ridiculous. Your name is without meaning beyond that which I, an outsider, choose to imbue it with. And in the case of Berenstain, it's a form of anti-Semitism. Erasing the name Berenstain, or making light of its spelling, turning it into a joke or a meme, is a way of denying a family its history, both geographically and culturally. It's a way of saying, your family didn't come from Ukraine. They weren't a part of a third of the population targeted for eradication by an increasingly anti-Jewish movement. They didn't suffer to save their families. They didn't travel thousands of miles to try and escape the nightmares of the pogroms, the burnings of the shtetls, the encroaching shadow of the xenophobic, nationalistic, anti-revolutionary Black Hundred. It's cultural erasure, and it's wrong. Now you may be thinking, goodness, Phil, it's just a meme. It's just a gag. No one's taking it seriously. But I am, because it's tiring and overwhelming, because people deserve their names, because it happens a lot to immigrants and the children of immigrants. It's a way of saying your culture is weird or impenetrable. You don't fit in. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of people finding glee in their own ignorance. I'm tired of the lack of curiosity. I'm tired of the groupthink. I'm tired of the support people get for othering outsiders. I'm tired of people bringing up this stupid theory every time I mention this show because it's 2018 and that stuff was so 2015. You're not even current. It's done. It's done. It's done. And I'm not even going to go into the anti-Semitic implication of most major conspiracy theories because we'll be here all day. Suffice to say, conspiracy theorizing about a family's Jewish heritage, it's not a good look. The Berenstain Bear books were named such by Ted Geisel. He called them that for brand recognition, and he named them after their creators, Stanley and Janice. He also shortened their names to Stan and Jan. He liked the rhyme, and he liked the alliteration. Geisel was a businessman and a clever editor and a writer, and he gave the Berenstains a good start in children's publishing, but it was their name that identified their work. It was their style that defined their work. It was the Berenstains Bears. I'm touchy about this subject. I'm touchy about anti-Semitism in any form. It hits me hard, and it makes me want to hunker down and wrap my arms around my family. I'm not Jewish myself, but my partner is. Our daughter is. So any attack on Jewish life and culture, I see as an attack on them. And any attack on them is an attack on me, and I won't have it. I'm done. I'm done with it. It's worth noting here that Mike himself wasn't raised Jewish. The Berenstains had a strictly secular household. Jan was an Episcopalian, and Mike found his Christian faith later in adulthood. But he is fiercely protective of his family's name. You can feel the tension when the Mandela effect is mentioned in his voice, in his mannerisms. Even when I was visiting his studio, it got brought up, not even by us. It got brought up by Mike, and the bitterness just dripped from his voice. Because again, it's his family. So what do you do with this information? What can you do? You can correct people, for one thing. Mention that Berenstain is a spelling based on the pronunciation of the original Berenstains who arrived in America in the late 1800s. You know, say, Berenstain wasn't an arbitrary word chosen for a children's book. The Berenstains were and are real people with real feelings. Remind people that Jewish names, all last names, are infused with meaning and history and stories. It's more interesting to find out the truth about a person than to make up easily discredited lies and fables. So ask people about their names. Where do they come from? What do they mean? Look up your own. There's a wealth of history in that name. Heck, even the bears themselves put stock in their names. Mama, Papa, sister, and brother. They all have names representative of their iconic places in the origins of bear country continuity. Originally, they were the only bears, and the world grew up around them. We know that the last name Bear and the last name Grizzly carry weight and the shadow of conflict. We know that origins are important to the bears, that family is important to the bears, and that in all of bear country, kindness and compassion is the greatest gift of all. So I'm sorry if I got off on a bit of a tear. These matters might seem trivial to you, but This kind of understanding has ripples. And I ask you today, listeners, to please go out and spread understanding in the world. It doesn't matter if it's understanding about the last name of the Berenstains, but I do hold you responsible for correcting any people who bring it up. Just any kind of understanding. I'm just a guy with a Berenstain Bears podcast. I don't have much of a platform or much influence at all, and it's probably for the best. But all I can do is ask each and every one of you to approach things in this life with compassion and understanding. And if you do your best to do that, I will do my best too. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. You can find me on Twitter at bstainbearcast. You can find me on Patreon at patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, where you can throw a few dollars my way if you are so inclined. Thank you for listening for these, many years. It's not always easy to find a topic, and it's not always easy to keep my own personal feelings out of this, but I guess that's what I do, isn't it? I guess that's what we all do. So thank you for listening, and I'll see you all next time, deep in Bear Country.